If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, November 29th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is the LaCroix Poppy himself, Tim motherfucking Geddes.
We're back, baby, and it feels good. The intro did that thing that it does every once in a while where it lasts just a little longer than normal, and it's like it throws you off. It's that 1 second of silence feels like an eternity.
I don't understand how it ever changes. It's the same button. There is no other button. I press the same button every day, and sometimes, for an unknown reason, it just goes a little longer.
I like it because of toes.
Yeah, that's why I like it. It keeps me on my toes. I've had it happen so much.
Emotionally.
I've had it happen so much. Now, like, I'm like, don't let it phase you. Don't change the facial expression. Just keep eye contact and just keep that smile until your face is revealed. I love it so much.
Pearly whites, baby.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm happy to be here with you today. We have a lot of fun content. We're back. Kind of Funny content is back. We've been gone the last couple of days. We just reviewed Hawkeye episodes 1 and 2. Those will be going up on youtube.com/kindoffunny soon. We got Matrix in review starting later today. Oh, what a time to be alive.
How excited are you for Matrix?
I'm very, very excited. Very.
Okay. Excited. Are you a Matrix fan?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm like a super fan, but yeah, definitely a fan.
Gotcha. I might make this my opportunity to rewatch Matrix, because like that's one of those movies that I haven't seen since like the early 2000s, since I was a kid. It's on HBO Max.
Yeah,
all of them are. Man. The new one even is going to be on HBO Max when it comes out.
Is Animatrix on there?
Oh man,
I don't know,
dude. Animatrix is my shit.
I've never.
I was
it.
All in on.
I've
Animatrix.
Always wanted to see it. I was promised that we were going to make that part of the review, but I guess it's not.
That was fun because that was one of the ones where. That was during, I believe that was like WB Kids, and that was during the Saturday morning cartoons block of
I think you're thinking something else.
Am I thinking of something else? No, you're right. I'm thinking of the Men in Black cartoon.
That's very different.
I don't know why the Men in Black cartoon is, I don't know why I got those things confused. I have no idea why. The Men in Black cartoon was on the WB Kids on Saturday morning, and that was my shit. But you never knew what to expect.
Bless. Two things. First off, I just threw my headphones down way too hard.
Yeah, you have to be
second
careful.
Off, second off.
Okay,
I hate you. I hate you so much. But
I'm gonna Google Animatrix real quick.
The Men in Black animated show was fucking awesome.
It was great, wasn't it?
It was really good. It was really
second
good.
Only to Godzilla the animated series. That was
what
awesome.
Was the Animatrix
dope as shit.
The Animatrix wasn't a series. It was like a.
It was like an
anthology film.
Oh yeah. Shit.
It was four, maybe five,
nine,
15 minute, not, no way, nine?
I think so.
No, that sounds wrong.
That's
but
wild.
But it was like just anime stories from the Matrix world that fill in things between 1 and 2.
That's great. All this whole time I thought I'd watch Animatrix, but it was Men in Black, the cartoon. But like the point I was making, though, right. And I'm just going to shift it to Men in Black, the cartoon real quick. I forget what it was called. Was it Men in Black, the animated series? I digress.
Yeah. I think so.
That was one of the ones where I would show up to WB Kids to watch Jackie Chan Adventures specifically and like Static Shock. Mm-hmm. And then everything else was like, okay, we'll see if this stuff slaps or not. Men in Black, the animated series, was one that caught me off guard, where I was like, oh, there's no way this could be. Even as a kid, I was like, there's no way this can be good. And I watched it, and I was like, this is incredible. This is fantastic.
So good.
Fantastic content. But, Tim, we got a whole bunch of fantastic content to get into. So let's talk about today's stories, which include a new Marvel MMO incoming, a Game Awards reveal that's been 2.5 years in the making, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com. Or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, about an hour after this KFGD ends, we're recording PS I Love You XOXO live on Patreon. That is going to be our PlayStation Now 2021 review. You can write in with your questions and thoughts about PlayStation Now over on patreon.com/kindafunnygames for Janet and me to talk about on the show. And then our Hawkeye episodes 1 and 2 review is up on YouTube, featuring Tim, Nick, and Kevin breaking down all their thoughts and feelings on the new Marvel show. That is up on youtube.com/kindafunny. And then tomorrow is Giving Tuesday, and we're raising money for Project Hope. What are we streaming? Well, Greg Miller is making a comeback to stream some Marvel's Avengers with Snowbike Mike and see how Spider-Man plays on opening day. If you want to check that out, you can tune in tomorrow after Kinda Funny Games Daily on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Pranksy and Black. I almost like just choked just then. Today brought to you by Purple Mattress, DraftKings, and Liquid IV, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 6 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, a new Marvel MMO is incoming. This is from Wesley Yinpool at Eurogamer. The developer of DC Universe Online is making a Marvel MMO. Yeah. Dimensional Inc. Studios, the latest name for the Austin, Texas branch of Daybreak Game Company, is working on a Marvel IP-based based massively multiplayer online game, according to an investor presentation. This investor presentation was published online by parent company EG7 and spotted by Twitter user and Twitch streamer Miller, not to be confused with Greg Miller. Mm-hmm. Development of the so far unannounced MMO is led by Jack Emmert, who co-founded Cryptic Studios, designed and helmed City of Heroes, and currently leads the 10-year-old DC Universe Online. That's all we know for now, but it's worth noting Daybreak Game Company has reportedly worked on a Marvel MMO a few years ago, but it was apparently canceled, sparking a round of layoffs late 2018. It's also worth noting that Cryptic Studios worked on Marvel Universe Online in 2006 before Microsoft canceled it in 2008. Marvel Universe Online was later reborn as Cryptic's Champions Online. Gazillion Entertainment's Marvel Heroes launched in 2013, but shut down late 2017. Don't hold your breath for this new Marvel MMO, though. The investor presentation lists this under the longer-term projects. This could be a 2023 game at the earliest. Tim, what does it do for you?
This is pretty cool, you know, especially for people like Greg Miller that were like the number one fan of DC Universe Online, and for them to have found the success they did with that game over time. You know, it never really became like the biggest breakout hit, but like I think they really kind of found their footing, and to now take that expertise and partner it with licenses as big as Marvel at this point in time, I think could be really cool and really like good and vibrant for the community that is going to be interested in this. I don't like these type of games, so I don't really think this speaks to me that much, but I think that this is inevitable in some way. I remember they announced Marvel Heroes back in the day that was semi like this. I think that one was a little bit a different type of genre, a little bit, but this makes sense. I'm not too surprised by it, and I'm definitely not surprised that it's a longer term project that we're not getting anytime soon.
Yeah, I like that we're hearing about it this early. Like, it makes me curious on what this is actually going to end up being, and I guess what the reception is going to be of it, because I think DC Universe Online is one that I've heard a lot about, but that's mainly from Greg Miller, right? Like, I've not heard like the wide gaming universe talk about DC Universe Online in like an ongoing way, right? I think there was that spark toward the launch of it, and like it had a community, it had people that were going crazy for it, but I look at something like a Marvel MMO made by the same folks a decade later, and I go, oh shit, that has a lot of potential to blow up, because now you're taking the learnings of DC Universe Online, you're taking the trust that they've had after working on that for so long, and you're applying it to the power of Marvel games recently, which, you know, has been putting out hit after hit, and like some misses.
And Avengers.
But, and Avengers. But like, I think there's enough there in terms of things that they've been getting right, and there's a good enough vision there at Marvel games in terms of partnering the right IPs with the right studios that this doesn't seem like a thing that happens by accident or by coincidence or by happenstance, right? This seems like a thing that is, hey, we identify you. We know what we want in a Marvel MMO, and you guys seem to be the guys that can bring this to fruition. And so for that, I'm excited about it. And I'm with you that It's not necessarily my type of game. A Marvel MMO is probably the MMO that would get me into playing that type of game. And so I'm all about this. This sounds super exciting to me.
What's really cool about it, too, is just kind of seeing how the industry has changed since DC Universe Online first came out, where I think a lot of the more recent success, and again, it's all relative, but the recent success of DC Universe Online, a game that is 12 years old at this point, right? Like, it is kind of the fact that it's still around in any extent is very impressive. And I think that it's because we've seen things like it being free on PlayStation Plus and it kind of like having these like new ways to get into people's hands. And now that there's this kind of like understanding of free-to-play games and different types of ways to monetize these ongoing live games, I think that there's a lot of potential for them to have combined their expertise with the design of the game that they've already made with DC Universe Online, modernize it a bit, but then also have a better chance of actual success, both with interest from gamers, where I think there are more gamers out there now that are willing to give MMOs a shot. It's not just a PC thing. It is now translated to consoles as well, but like easily, which I think wasn't always the case back in the day for this type of genre. So I think that this is the highest chance of success a superhero MMO could ever have.
Yeah. And I mean, when you look at the lineage, right, these are the right folks to do it because they're talking about, like, you know, the studio that started off with City of Heroes, which was a huge superhero MMO, right, went on to do DC Universe Online. And when you're talking about superhero MMOs, that right there is, I think that right there, I think, speaks to legacy and speaks to, hey, we are the guys that have been doing this in the biggest way. And we're the guys that you want working on a Marvel MMO. My question for you, Tim, is, do you think we're going to reach a point of oversaturation when it comes to Marvel games? Because when I look at a Marvel MMO, I think the thing that comes to mind immediately are the similar kinds of games that we've gotten in the space. And I know, like, technically these are very different things, but we have gotten things like Marvel's Ultimate Alliance, and we have gotten Marvel's Avengers, and we are getting Midnight Suns. And again, these are specific genres that speak to specific niches. But do you think we're going to hit a point where it's like, wow, we got a lot of Marvel?
So I think that we've already hit the point that it's like, wow, we have a lot of Marvel. But I think that to the point you just made, I don't think these games are being designed at all to be like, oh, you need to play all of them. You know, like the fact that they don't all connect, there's not like a gaming universe that they're building here.
It's not the MCU.
No, it's not the MCU. It is very much kind of like, hey, what genre do you like? Cool, let's get into it. Like, here's an opportunity. I do think that they are aware of it. And that's why I think they're bringing brands like Midnight Suns, right? Like, that is not necessarily the most mainstream of comic properties, but that's just where we're at as a mainstream audience, where there is an understanding of so many levels of Marvel events due to the movies and not just the Marvel Studios movies, but like at this point 20 years of history of the X-Men movies, the Spider-Man movies, the Daredevil movies, the Fantastic Four movies. Like, we kind of, a lot of people out there get these characters, get these stories. So doing something a little bit different, I think, is an all-time high in terms of understandability for people. And just applying that to different genres and having different talented developers work on stuff like Insomniac working on these third-person action adventures while we have, you know, the RTS being made by the XCOM guys. It's like, that makes so much sense. And I don't think that hits oversaturation because these, at the end of the day, these are just characters. And I think that a lot of people can look at it and see the Marvel logo and be like, oh, it's all the same. It's not. Like, an Iron Man game and a Spider-Man game and a Wolverine game, those are all different things because those are different characters with different motivations, both personally and character-wise, but also from gameplay perspective, right? So I don't think that we're in a worry for that. Look at Star Wars, right? Like, there's been so many bad games, but there's been so many good games. And I don't think that an oversaturation of Star Wars games was the problem back in the PS2 era. That was just a thing that people loved.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, through the amount of Star Wars games we got during that era, right? Like, there were the ones that didn't hit as well, but there are ones that really hit, and those ones that really hit are the ones that we remember, we still talk about, right? Like, we still talk about those Battlefront games. We still talk about, like, I talk about Star Wars Racer for the N64, right, and how much I love that game. But then there are plenty of those ones that fell by the wayside, and, like, games that came out, and, you know, there were a moment, I think of things like Star Wars Episode 3 on the PS2 that I played at a friend's house, went, this game's whatever, and then, like, didn't think about it again. But that didn't take away from me playing things like Star Wars Racer and other Star Wars games that I ended up loving. You know, I think a lot of this is kind of throwing things at a wall and seeing what sticks. And, you know, if something like Marvel's Avengers doesn't stick, that doesn't mean a Marvel MMO isn't going to stick. And that doesn't mean that they also get in the way of each other because they're very different things. Now, on the same topic, of course, Greg Miller is the biggest fan, I know at least, of DC Universe Online, also a huge fan of Marvel's Avengers. And when we posted this news in the Slack, he replied saying, I better get a call about this on KHGD. So I'm going to go ahead and ring his phone. Whether or not he answers, we'll see. But just so we can say that we did, I'm going to ring him. God, the anticipation is killing me.
Yeah, I know. What the hell could he possibly be doing right now? Jesus.
Hey, he's busy. He's busy.
God, the disrespect.
You should respond to that Slack and be like, not like you answer.
I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm going to do it.
Bless.
Dope.
Because I was very excited about this call. I really want to know what Greg Miller had to say about Marvel's
MMO.
We'll never know. I guess we'll have to ask him tomorrow.
God, I love the idea that he's going to come on some random show and be like, this is what I feel about the thing.
God. We'll have to wait and see. For now, let's talk about story number two. One Game Awards reveal has been 2.5 years in the making. I'm pulling from Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle. 2.5 years. Host and creator of the Game Awards, Jeff Keighley, has claimed that the December 9th show will feature a world premiere that he has been, quote, working on with a developer for 2.5 years, end quote. In a tweet published on Sunday, Keighley said that he visited the developer in the summer of 2019. Quote, just saw the final cut of a hashtag The Game Awards world premiere we have been working on with a developer for 2.5 years. Truly honored we are entrusted to share this work with the world. 2.5 years sounds like a long time, but summer of 2019 was actually my last global tour to visit developers. I always have so much fun visiting studios and hearing about their projects. Hope to do it again in 2022, Jeff Keighley tweeted. 2020 show saw reveals of a reboot of Perfect Dark and an untitled Mass Effect game from BioWare. Tim, what do you think this 2.5 year reveal could be?
I think this is a perfect example of why I love doing kind of funny games daily, because we talk about video game news every day and we find these things that turn into headlines and find discussion topics about it. It's hilarious that this is the headline, because I feel like that implies something that isn't what Jeff Keighley's saying. Like, it's not like, oh, there's something that's been 2.5 years in the making. It's like, yeah, okay, the last 2.5 years have been a fucking pandemic. So the last time that he went out to see the devs was 2.5 years ago. So I imagine there's been a lot of reveals that are 2.5 years in the making. So I don't think that that alone makes this like some golden goose. I don't think this is Half-Life 3. I don't think that this is like some holy crap remake of, you know, some beloved PlayStation game like a Metal Gear Solid or something like that. I do think this is going to be cool. Like, the last couple of years of Game Awards, there's always been at least one holy shit announcement, if not multiple. I mean, remember, this Xbox Series X was revealed at the Game Awards. Like, that is a big deal, you know what I mean? So what they're gonna bring this year, I don't know, but I'm excited. I think that Jeff's confident in this show. What this game particularly is, I don't know. I have a couple ideas, but I don't want to put them out into the world.
You don't want to put them out there. I was ready for you to put them out there, because I have a couple ideas too. Because I look at this, and here's my thing. It's Jeff Keighley. Jeff Keighley is he's very online. He reads the replies, and I feel like, not that he's careful with what he tweets, but I think he's thoughtful. I think when he says something like, oh, we have a reveal that's been 2.5 years in the making, I think he says that knowing the level of expectation people are going to attach to that.
But he also, he explains it in his tweet that, like, 2.5 years sounds like a long time, but summer 2019 was actually my last global trip. So, like, even he
he makes it make sense, but also, like, he still said it, which makes me think that, like, oh shit, this might be some cool thing. Not necessarily. I don't think it's the things that you also said it's not going to be, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be like some unannounced, like, Half-Life 3 that is here, or like Metal Gear Solid or something crazy like that. What I do think it could be is something that is, that we know exists, right, but we haven't seen much of yet, or still has info to come out. When I think of 2.5 years, Tim, you know what was announced 2.5 years ago? The Legend of Zelda
Breath of the Wild untitled sequel.
Exactly. Could we get a title and a release date for Breath of the Wild 2?
We could. I don't think that that's likely, but we could. The thing is, Nintendo always used to have one big announcement at the Game Awards. That big announcement could have been Funky Kong is coming to Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, or it could be Joker's in Smash Brothers, right? Like, there's like a lot of levels to this shit. But they haven't necessarily always done that. I don't think that Nintendo's had a big announcement there at the last 2 years, I want to say. So I wouldn't be surprised either way. Breath of the Wild is that big kind of question mark where we could hear about it and it's coming out in March, or it's not coming out until the end of next year or even the following year. So it's like, until we're a little closer, I don't know, but I don't think he's talking about Zelda with this quote in particular.
Now, Tim, you know what else we got? A quote-unquote announcement, but not necessarily like a reveal of 2 years ago, was BioShock. 2K came out and they were like, we are working on BioShock. Cloud Chamber is developing it. And like, we've not seen anything of that game. I feel like that would fit well in a world premiere. And I could see that being at something like the Game Awards. I feel like the Game Awards is like the right venue to show it. Do you think there's anything there?
I don't. I agree with you that a BioShock announcement at the Game Awards feels right. Like, that does feel like the type of audience that Jeff's trying to go after. Because it is that blend of mainstream and hardcore, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's always interesting because so many of these announcements, like, we're going to get a bunch of world premieres. A lot of them are going to be marketing things, like just advertisements. And some of them are going to be games that we know about. And then there's going to be some banger-ass announcements. Like, that's just how this shit goes. I kind of expect this to the whatever they're teasing here. I think that it might be on that level of a Perfect Dark, right? Like we got the reveal at the Game Awards a couple years ago for that. And I think that I expect that at the Game Awards, whether or not this reveal is it, I do think we're going to get at least a game announcement that we have not heard about. Or that's not we've heard about, but it's not officially announced. I think a new game will be officially announced that's going to make us go like, oh shit.
Yeah, and that's why BioShock is kind of the reach for me, and kind of the top that I'll reach for in terms of what this thing could be. It could be anywhere in terms of like hype below that, right? It could be the Chrono Cross remake. It could be plenty of things. But when Jeff talks about having visited the studio in 2019, it makes me think that it's something that either is publicly known or just known to be in development. Like, what studio would Jeff visit and be at? I find that hard to think that that would be Nintendo with Breath of the Wild 2. Maybe it is because Jeff has clout like that. But something like Cloud Chamber with BioShock, I think, makes sense because that is a thing that we know exists, right? Like, what is something that we know exists and has existed for the last couple of years that is in development that would make sense that Jeff would go check out? It might be in talks with. And so we'll see about that one. I'm very hyped. I hope it's BioShock or the Breath of the Wild 2 sequel.
I mean, regardless, dude, we're a week away from the Game Awards, man. Like, that's nuts. Like, we're about to get some announcements, some like big heavy hitting stuff. Like, this is the like first Game Awards that's not like in the thick of it with the pandemic stuff. Like, here it's like, okay, things are a little bit more under control. We've had a year of devs and publishers kind of being able to wrap their head around what working from home looks like to some hybrid extent. And I think that with that, we're going to get some announcements, maybe not things that are imminent, but I do think that we're about to get a wave of next gen, which is current gen now, PS5, Xbox Series X announcements new gen of games that we're going to be playing in a couple years. But I think we're going to get a wave of things to start getting excited for the future for.
What are your hype levels at? Do you think this is going to be a banger ass Game Awards?
I think that it's going to be a banger Game Awards. I don't think it's going to be the Game Awards of all time. I think that it could have been. I think this year really could have been it had the pandemic stuff not happened, because the momentum that he's had the last couple of years with these shows was like so fantastic. And then obviously having to do a digital show and all that stuff was not as hype. I think this year it's the first show back. I'm not necessarily expecting it to be like a perfect 10 out of 10. But I do think we're going to get some really, really cool announcements, some really cool updates. And I have high expectations, but that's because Jeff and the team have proven that we should expect a lot from these shows.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. I'm also thinking a lot about what next year is going to be, because next year is already a banger. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot more to talk about at the Game Awards in terms of games that are coming out next year or might get dated for next year or that are announced that are coming next year, because we're at that point of the new generation of consoles now where we've gotten over that first year hump. And even with the first year, this first year of video games for new gen has been fantastic. I think of
killer.
I think of 2014 when it comes to the PS4 and Xbox One, and that was a pretty dull year, right? Like, there are some pretty cool games, like Shadow of Mordor was 2014, like some other games were 2014, Dragon Age Inquisition was 2014, and you had quite a few games that spoke to different people. But then 2015 came through, and that's when we got The Witcher 3 and Metal Gear Solid 5 and Bloodborne and Rocket League and like a bunch of games that really helped define what that generation was going to end up being. I could see next year being that, like, in terms of timing, right, that works out. But then in terms of games that we already have announced, you know, I mean, we talk about it all the time, but like Elden Ring, Horizon Forbidden West, Saints Row, like Starfield, it's already looking to be a banner year. God of War, Ragnarok, right? And surely some of these things are going to get shifted and moved, and a lot of that has to do with pandemic and video games being hard to make and all these things. But we're hitting that point where now I'm like, shoot, yeah, like we're getting into the thick of it of the new generation of consoles. So I'm super excited about the Game Awards, and I'm super excited about next year.
Yep.
Tim, speaking of new gen console, story number three, the Xbox Series S was Black Friday's best-selling console. I'm pulling from Zach Zweizen at Kotaku. It appears that over the Black Friday shopping period, it wasn't the Switch or PS5 that was selling like hotcakes, but instead, the less powerful Xbox Series X sibling, the $300 Xbox Series S. As reported by Business Insider, the news comes from the Adobe Digital Economy Index, which claims to have analyzed over 1 trillion visits to retail sites and also surveyed over 1,000 retailers on what items were selling better than others. All this data seemingly points to the big winner of the Black Friday shopping season being the tiny Xbox Series S. At first, this might seem surprising, but there are a few reasons this smaller Xbox is doing so well. For one thing, it's actually available at many stores. Right now, it's very hard to get your hands on a $500 PS5 or Xbox Series X. However, the Series S has been available to buy at various stores for days now, including GameStop and Best Buy. Another thing helping the Series S is Game Pass. Between Forza Horizon 5, Halo Infinite, and a large library of older and newer games, the service provides folks with a lot of stuff to play at a low cost. Interestingly enough, last year Xbox boss Phil Spencer told Kotaku that he expected this, saying, quote, "I think over the generation, our expectation would be that price really matters and that you would see the Xbox Series S sell more," end quote. Tim, what are your thoughts on this? Does price really matter?
I mean, I think this is great, right? Especially this weekend with Halo multiplayer already out, with Halo campaign coming in just a couple weeks next week. Holy crap. The video games have been so impressive the last couple of years. The numbers they're putting up are just out of this world, setting records every single time. I don't think it's a surprise the Series S is the highest selling this weekend, for every reason they just explained there. It really does come down to stock. But I'd be interested if that wasn't the case. Like, if it was unlimited supply of all these things, how would that shake out, right? I do think that Xbox having that option and having the Series S and X both be more than good enough to be able to play all the games, I think is really setting Xbox up for a lot of success, especially when you pair it with Game Pass. I think that we're still at that point that the general public doesn't know the value of Xbox right now and is still a little confused with the amount of SKUs out there and just with what the Xbox offering is. But you got to imagine in just a couple years, what all it takes is somebody to try Game Pass and understand what it is and to really be like, oh yeah, this kind of is Netflix for gaming in a way that I didn't ever expect video games to be possible. Like, once you get that, and once more people get that, then everyone's going to be like, well, I need an Xbox of some sort, because that, there's just such a value there. And if you're a value hunting person, $300 for the ability to play all of these games is really, really, really enticing. So I think Xbox made a very, very smart, wise call to have the dual SKU set up. And I think that it'll pay off for them a lot more than it is right now once they get out of the Xbox One side of things.
Yeah, like, I think you make the good point in terms of what is the wider mainstream perception of the Xbox Series S? Do people know that, you know, this thing exists as a legitimate entry to next gen? And I think for that, it probably only takes a little bit of research, right? And especially on a Black Friday where people are like, cool, I want to get into next gen gaming, or I just want a new gaming console. I want the new freshness. How many clicks, how much research does it take to like look into, oh shit, this is $300 and it's available, I can get it right now? Damn, that's a deal. And I can play whatever next-gen game I want. I can play the new Halo, even though you can play the new Halo on Xbox One. I can play the new Halo in a next-gen way on my Xbox Series S, right? I think there's big value there. And combining the Xbox Series S with Game Pass and Xbox's whole platform right now of value and giving people an easier way to jump in, I think it makes sense that the Xbox Series S is thriving, of course, with stock and all that stuff. But removed from that, I wouldn't be surprised if it was thriving anyway, if the numbers were rivaling an Xbox Series X.
Well, so that's the thing that I'm interested in is, I I'm willing to bet that it wouldn't rival it, but I do think it would be very high. And I think that it would go PS5 for sure at the number one, and then probably Xbox Series X, maybe the Switch OLED. But Switch is always that weird thing where there's just an inherent value to the Nintendo, to the Switch at least, line of things, because there's so many people buying a second or a third or a family one or whatever, in a way that they don't do with other consoles. But having said that, I think that Xbox is kind of setting itself up where, more so than ever, they're kind of giving gamers the option to have multiple Xboxes in their house, where they're like, cool, your big man cave setup is going to have the Series X. But if you want another one for the bedroom when you just want to play a couple games, the Series S isn't that much money if you have the means to do that. And I think that that puts them in a unique spot that PlayStation right now is just the premium, right? It's just the most expensive.
It's like the disc or the discless.
And like both of those are still the premium option, right?
Yeah.
But I'd be really interested to see the numbers if there weren't any of these limitations, because I imagine that it'd go PS5, then Xbox Series X, somewhere the Switch in there, going down to the S. But combining the S and the X, would that outpace the PS5? That's the thing I'm most interested in. And I think that there is a conversation there. And I think that that's a conversation that Xbox is probably thrilled to be in.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if both of them together were outpacing the PS5. But on the opposite hand, I think that combined with people playing Xbox games on PC and people that just have Game Pass, the user base there, I wouldn't be surprised if those numbers were high enough where Xbox is like, dude, we're thriving. Like, this is what we want. Like, when you take all of that into consideration with each other, the people that are playing Halo and Forza right now on Series X, Series S, and PC, those numbers are probably astronomical given those games being included on Game Pass, but then just those games being available on those different platforms. I'm sure that's huge. I would love a conversation about like how those numbers compare to like the PS5 console sales numbers and how each company views that, because I think there's a lot there to dig into, and I wouldn't be surprised if Xbox are looking at their numbers right now and going, fuck, we are exceeding all of what we predicted to be at right now. And so, you know, Tim, speaking of value, let me tell you guys about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can go to get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. Did you know that colder weather makes it easier to miss the classic signs of dehydration like overheating and perspiration? That's why, even though it's colder out, it's more important than ever to keep your body properly hydrated. Luckily, Liquid IV makes hydration easier than ever. I love Liquid IV. There's been a ton of mornings where I'm waking up not feeling that great. Then, boom, you pour some of this in the water. Next thing you know, you're hydrated. Liquid IV is not an actual IV drip, but it does hydrate you faster and more efficiently than plain old water. But that's because Liquid IV uses cellular transport technology, which is a very fancy way of saying it contains the perfect balance of vitamins to help you hydrate quicker. Grab your favorite Liquid IV flavors nationwide at Walmart, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code KFGD at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code KFGD at liquidiv.com. Next up, shout out to Purple. There's no gift better than the gift of a great night's sleep. Give yourself the gift of the best, a Purple mattress. I have so many glowing things to say about Purple. You guys have heard it for years. The pillow changed my life, because guess what? There is no hot side. You never need to flip it to the cold side, because they're both cold sides. It's fantastic. Purple mattresses are the best because they're the only ones around with the gel flex grid. That's what makes all that flipping possible. It's a super stretchy, ultra squishy material that adapts and flexes around pressure points, supports and cushions you in all the right places, and doesn't retain heat. Oh, and I love that. Getting a great night's sleep starts with having a great mattress. Get a Purple mattress. Go to purple.com/games10 and use code games10 for a limited time. You can get 10% off any order of $200 or more. That's purple.com/games10, code games10 for 10% off any order of $200 or more. purple.com/games10, promo code games10. Terms apply. And finally, shout out to DraftKings. NFL fans, the fantasy football season doesn't just start in September. Every week is a new shot to win big cash prizes at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. And this week, new customers can play free for millions with their first deposit. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get in the game. Playing daily fantasy football is simple. Just pick your lineup of NFL stars while staying under the salary cap and score enough points to bring home cash. And with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, you'll feel the NFL action like never before. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code KINDAFUNNY to play free for millions. That's right. Enter promo code KINDAFUNNY to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. Do not miss out. Download DraftKings and play with the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. There's a minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Tim, you know what it is? I think where my mind got things crossed with the Animatrix and the Men in Black animated series was that Will Smith was picked to be Neo originally, right? In the Matrix, he was supposed to be cast as Neo before he was like, no, I'm gonna do Wild Wild West instead. And then, you know, Keanu Reeves, the homeboy, ended up getting it. I think that's where I got
like
the line
crossed. What an interesting decision that was. You know what I mean? Where he was like, I just believe in Wild Wild West a lot more. You know.
You know what they did? They probably showed him that tarantula at the end. He was like, holy shit, this is next level.
I bet you Cisco was like, yo, man, this like I. Like, I'm involved in the music. This shit's going to be a banger.
Well, that's the problem. The Wachowskis, were like, we can't, you're not going to get a song at the end. And he was like, I'm out. Can't do it. Yeah. I need to rap.
Yeah. He's like, I can't be contained. I got to get these bars off.
It's funny you bring this up. I don't want to go off too much on a tangent here. But this weekend, I listened to Will Smith's Lost and Found album the first time in about 10 years. And what a banger it is. It really is good.
Which album? Which album was this?
It's like 2006 album.
Was this the one with Switch on it?
Yeah, it's the one with Switch.
Oh my god! Yeah. No, what a banger of an album! Yeah,
it's underrated. No, man, I'm telling you,
I love that album. Tim, speaking of Keanu Reeves and Cyberpunk world, story number four: Cyberpunk 2077 is getting a recent boost. This is Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. A Cyberpunk 2077 designer has thanked fans following a flood of very positive user reviews on Steam this week. Cyberpunk is currently Steam's global top seller, following a 50% price discount as part of Steam's autumn sale, which saw it reduced from $60 to $30. The influx of new players appear to have had a much better experience with the RPG than those who picked it up at launch, since the game's user rating has been upgraded to very positive thanks to more than 18,000 recent reviews. Previously, 2077 had a mostly positive user rating based on some 404,000 combined user reviews submitted to date. Responding to the news, CD Projekt's quest director for Cyberpunk, Pawel Sasko, thanked fans on Twitter. Quote, "You can't imagine what it means to me," he wrote. "Thank you so much," end quote. In June, CD Projekt said it believed Cyberpunk 2077's performance had reached a, quote, "satisfying level" following 6 months of patches designed to improve the game from its much-criticized launch state. Speaking in a new interview with a Polish economic newspaper, Adam Kaczynski argued that the brand awareness generated by the game means it'll eventually be seen as a success, despite its rocky launch last December. Quote, "We believe that in the long run, Cyberpunk 2077 will be perceived as a very good game, and like our other titles, it'll sell for years, especially as the hardware gets more powerful over time and we improve the game," he said. Quote, "We're working on updates all the time, and we're also working on a version for the latest generation of consoles. Of course, the original release taught us a lot. It gave us a kick and motivated us to make changes that'll make us better in the future," end quote. Tim, does this one surprise you at all?
No, not really. Like, I feel like this is an inevitability with this game where it's just like it's going to last long enough to kind of fix itself enough that people are like, hey, it's cheap enough. I want to give this thing a shot. I like RPGs and it works, you know? And if what people need to remember is the majority of people out there aren't reading these headlines. They don't know this whole story. And they're just like, oh, there's this game. And if it has good reviews and they're playing, they're like, hey, this is great. If it is great, then that's all they need to know. They don't care about the launch. They don't care about the tumultuous year and a half or whatever it's been. I do think that this is talking about the Steam version. So it is the PC version, of which course. Was already better than the console versions of the game. And this game's just going to keep getting better. It's never going to reach the heights that it was expected to or could have. And I think that's just the reality of it. But yeah, these numbers don't surprise me. PC players love RPGs and Steam players love sales. So you combine those things and guess what? It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, I think you make the good point in terms of like not everybody pays attention to all the headlines, right? Like not everybody was super in tune to the Cyberpunk fiasco this time last year in the way that all of us here and all of us probably listening to this podcast and other video game podcasts and content out there probably were. If I was just a random person that went on Steam, saw a Cyberpunk game on sale for $30 and went, oh shit, like this looks cool. I like RPGs. I like first person shooters. This looks cool. I play it, and that game, after all of its updates, actually, like, you know, works without all the bugs. I could come out of that being like, oh, that was a fantastic time. I came out of that game being like, yeah, that was a really good time, despite all the bugs that were present at the time I was playing. And so I don't think it's that surprising that more people are coming away from the game nowadays being like, oh no, like, this is dope as fuck. I think the thing that, you know, the thing that I question in the article is the quote from Adam Kaczynski talking about how, yeah, after a while, we think that this game will be seen as a success. I don't necessarily challenge that in terms of, oh, that's impossible, but I do think that is a big uphill climb. I think the perception of the game within the last year, and just like the overall fiasco of launch of that game coming out, it getting pulled from the PlayStation Store, it being filled with bugs, it running so badly on, at the time, the current gen consoles. I think that goes a long way into, I think, cementing some permanent damage to that IP specifically, that I don't know if people are going to come out ever being like, oh yeah, Cyberpunk is great now. Like, we all love it at this point. I wonder if that can happen. At right now, I don't necessarily think it could.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's tough because I feel like there's a lot of people that have already made their decision on this game. Yeah. And like, there's a fairly sizable group of people that are like, oh, the problem with the game isn't the bugs and isn't this, it's that the game itself isn't good. And I don't think that stuff is ever going to get fixed. And those people, they're like, their minds are not going to get changed. But mm-hmm. I think that there are millions of other people out there that don't have the knowledge of all this stuff, that this, I do think at the end of the day, Cyberpunk 2077 is going to have sold millions and millions of copies, and I think that the majority of people are going to have a positive experience with the game. That doesn't mean the most vocal, and that doesn't mean that it is as positive as expected from the makers of Witcher 3, but I do think that they're going to just keep at it until it becomes something that is good enough. And it just sucks that Cyberpunk has to be good enough when it should be the best around. I will say that recently I was wearing my Cyberpunk bomber jacket, which I love very dearly. It's one of my favorite jackets. And some random person on the street looked at me and was like, that is the coolest jacket for the worst game. And I was just like, awesome. Someone on the street knows. So
yeah, that's really funny. But yeah, like I wonder if them releasing on next gen, quote unquote, new gen consoles is going to be a turning point at all. Like, I wonder if them getting the game finally out on PS5 and Xbox Series X invites a new audience of people. And if that game runs the way it should run, I wonder if that is like the first step toward, okay, we can get this momentum going. And I wonder if they're able to make that happen and then follow that up with DLC, whether it is like a big story expansion or just big expansions in general to that game, or even the multiplayer stuff that they had announced, which seems to be shelved for now. I wonder if they're able to come back around with that stuff or some kind of expansion or some kind of content to drop and actually get people interested in a way that, I know we talk about No Man's Sky all the time, and No Man's Sky to some extent I think is a unicorn, but I wonder if they're able to pull something similar off where, you know, after supporting that game like crazy over the years, if we look back and go, oh shit, like, people love Cyberpunk now. I think it's possible, but it'll take a lot of work. I mean, it's never going to be The Witcher 3.
I don't know that it's not going to be The Witcher 3. Like, the thing is, it will never be The Witcher 3 in the sense The Witcher 3 is beloved from day one. Like, yeah. So yes, it will never be that. But will it hit the sales numbers? Will it have the Steam reviews? I don't know that it won't. Like, I do think that that there's a big chance that it eventually turns it around for that group of people, which is a very sizable group of people.
Yeah, and them being confident in it too, I think, invokes some hope. Because, and I remember earlier in the year when they put out their like marketing strategy for what CD Projekt Red was going forward, they had Witcher and Cyberpunk as their main pillars and everything working under that. And right now the Witcher machine is going, right? We got, of course, like the Witcher brand already established from like the books, but also we got the Witcher Netflix show, they got Witcher Gwent game, they got other Witcher stuff, they got the Witcher main game, they're probably going to work on another Witcher, we got Witcher 3 coming out on next gen. Like, they have that as a well-oiled machine. The other half of that is Cyberpunk, and they want Cyberpunk to be that, and they want so badly for Cyberpunk to be that, that I wonder if this is a case of throwing enough money at it is going to get it there. Again, we'll have to wait and see.
We will.
You know what else we'll have to wait and see for? Half-Life 3. Story number 5. Half-Life 3 is reportedly not in development, as Valve focuses on the Steam Deck. This is Chris Scullion at Video Games Chronicle. Half-Life 3 is not in active development, and Valve is instead focusing on Steam Deck-friendly titles, according to a report. Tyver McVicker of Valve News Network states in a new video that, according to his sources, there is no sequel to Half-Life 2, Episode 2, currently in development. Quote, "The end of Half-Life Alyx, for those who haven't played it heavily, hints towards the continuation of Gordon Freeman's story. The issue is that, at the current time, there isn't a major development team working on anything outside of the few pieces of software that are specifically tailored for hardware right now. Valve is trying to get the Steam Deck out, and, like many people have observed, the Steam Deck has been significantly more successful than originally anticipated, so Valve is throwing a lot at it," end quote. McVicker claims that Valve is instead working on a separate project called Citadel, which McVicker has been reporting on for some time. Quote, "Valve is working on a piece of software to best showcase what the Steam Deck is capable of doing, Citadel. This is a nostalgia fest. This is a Half-Life-based FPS/RTS hybrid that is cooperatively based. Think about Left 4 Dead and Alien Swarm and RTS and Half-Life all having a baby," end quote. Tim, how does that sound to you?
Weird.
Yeah, right?
I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's Valve, right? So it's like they're going to do something and they're going to do it right, whatever it is. But it is interesting that they're not doing Half-Life 3. I guess that's like the less surprising part, or at least not working on it right now. But the Steam Deck, them kind of trying to make a game that to show off what the Steam Deck is capable of doing, that's something that I shouldn't
be surprised. I'm laughing at chat because like there was a honk that happened. Like 10 seconds ago, there was a honk, and like I was like, maybe chat didn't hear it, and like I don't know where it came from. I don't know if that was Kevin or you.
It was me. This construction going on.
It
outside.
Sounded so weird too. It was like a dumb honk.
It sounded like a cartoon. Like it sounded like some Looney Tunes shit.
The whole chat's just honk, honk, honk. Oh, I fucking love it.
Oh god, sorry about that.
So no, it's all good. But like I kind of didn't expect them to want to be creating software for the Steam Deck, right? I kind of expected it to just be more like, hey, it's a computer, it's a platform for all the things that you already have on Steam. I didn't really think of them like, oh, we're going to make stuff to show off the use case for it, which I think is cool. In the same way that with their VR unit, they made Alyx to kind of like really be the showcase for that system, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm right there with you that I did not expect them to start on developing software that is focused on that. And I think that is purely because they've seen such a response for it that maybe they look at that and they're like, okay, this warrants us to actually put in more effort. And for hardware that is seeing this type of reception, like this type of this amount of people showing up for it, we have to actually tailor content for this now. We have to give people even more reason to show up for it so that we can keep that momentum going. And so that surprises me, but for the reasoning doesn't necessarily surprise me. The thing that surprises me more is the description of this game. That is, again, think about Left 4 Dead and Alien Swarm and RTS and Half-Life all having a baby. That sounds ridiculous, and I cannot wait to see the reveal trailer for this. Like, I hope it actually comes to fruition just so I can like see what this is, because that sounds bonkers, and that sounds like a thing that people aren't asking for. But I wonder if it becomes one of those things where people go, I wasn't asking for this, but I'll play this because this is
I mean, it's just weird enough that it could work, but it's also not that surprising. It's like taking the RTS side of things, like Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, right? But adding some first person shooter elements to it, I think it could work.
And I think it could work when you combine it with like the Half-Life IP. I wonder,
totally.
I'm very curious about that. It sounds cool and strange and different, and I'm all about it. I do think it's sad though that like it seems like they're not working on a mainline Half-Life thing, because I know that's another thing that people are actually asking for, but it's Valve. I don't think we really expected it at this point. I think at this point a lot of us have given up hope that they're working on that. But Tim, you know what I'm hopeful for is story number 6. Amazon wants to make a Mass Effect TV series. This is Luke Plunkett at Kotaku. It was first announced all the way back in 2010 that beloved sci-fi series Mass Effect was being turned into a movie. The project was only officially canceled earlier this year when BioWare's Mac Walters revealed that Legendary Pictures had finally walked away from the project. Deadline is now reporting that Amazon is nearing a deal to turn Mass Effect into a TV show instead. Tucked away in a story that's otherwise about the debut of Amazon's new fantasy series, Wheel of Time, is this short bit from Amazon Studios head Jennifer Salk. Quote, "One of the company's newest hopefuls in the arena is Mass Effect. Amazon Studios is nearing a deal to develop a series based on the best-selling sci-fi video game franchise from Electronic Arts. You'll see us continuing to invest in a fantasy genre of all kinds. We have a genre-focused team on the ground in studios who work tirelessly with our creative partners on those slates, and you can look forward to more, Salk said. I think this sounds cool.
It does sound cool. I mean, it's interesting right now with the streaming wars that are happening of everybody gobbling up IP and trying to get that next hit, right? I think Game of Thrones and Walking Dead kind of changed the game in terms of TV and what expectations are for serialized storytelling on a kind of AAA budget, to use game terms, for TV shows, right? And now we see the influx of that with even the HBO Max shows and with Disney Plus, Marvel and Star Wars shows. And I think that Amazon is in a unique place right now where they kind of don't have their mega hit, but they are kind of like having like little corners and pockets of hardcore fans for things like Invincible or The Boys and Wheel of Time. I feel like obviously they want it to be their big Game of Thrones moment, but it doesn't seem to be kind of doing that quite yet. And I don't know that it ever necessarily will. But this makes sense. I think that kind of mining video game IP for movies and shows makes sense. Obviously, like comic books found the success there, and now there's legitimately 14 comic book shows coming out at any given moment for the next couple of years. And I think that we're going to start seeing a lot more video game things as well. And I don't think that there's necessarily that same worry that we've had before of like, oh, it's just going to be a video game movie, those fucking suck. Like, I think that now there's an equal chance of them sucking or being cool, depending on what they are. And they might not be what you expect, but things like Sonic the Hedgehog, Detective Pikachu, right? Like, they're fun. It's not necessarily Pokemon in real life, the one-for-one adaptation, but sometimes that's fine, because I just watched Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City this week, and that was as close to a straight adaptation as we're ever going to get, and let me tell y'all, go not watch good. That fucking movie. It is trash, and it is going to make you laugh so fucking hard.
Oh my God.
There's music choices in it that are baffling, Blessing. Baffling. The amount of times they reference the game in a on-the-nose way, it's like, whoa, they just did that. Did they just reference the Jill sandwich? Yeah, they did. Yeah, they fucking did. And they don't let you not miss it. Like, you gotta...
Did somebody punch a boulder at some point?
Dude.
Did anybody punch a boulder?
No boulder punching.
Okay.
No boulder punching. But anyways. It's a fucking trash fire movie.
Yeah, I'm usually trepidatious when it comes to video game adaptations into TV and movies. Just because, like, I think it's a way more difficult thing to pull off than a novel adaptation or like a comic book adaptations. Like, I think the source material for video games often does already include cutscenes and voice acting and performances that you associate with a lot of characters. But I think in some instances, there is more promise than others. Like, I look at something, I mean, you just mentioned the Resident Evil movie, right? And how much they botched it and how trash it is. But like,
I mean, I want to be clear. I don't think they botched it. I think that they took a B minus tier storyline and turn it into a movie. Like, it is what it
is. Fair. But also, I think that is a struggle that happens a lot when it comes to video game adaptations. And like, I think something like Sonic the Hedgehog or Detective Pikachu works because the source material there is not really that, like, it's not really that serious or intense or filled with like a lot to pull from. Of course, like, there's Sonic the Hedgehog cutscenes and like, you know, voices that you associate with there, but it's so non-serious and it's so kiddy that I'm not going to get mad at a Sonic movie that like is fine, right? I'm not going to get mad if Detective Pikachu isn't the greatest thing of all time. Mass Effect is one that I think a lot of people have a lot of people have a lot of expectation for, right? Mass Effect has fans and fans that are fans of it because of the world and the narrative. I think the thing that gives me hope with Mass Effect is that for that, it is a world that you can adapt, as opposed to like the specific one-for-one stories of Mass Effect 1 through 3. You don't have to do that, right? And that's one of the things I liked while playing Mass Effect for the first time earlier in the year through the Legendary Edition. From Mass Effect 1, they establish a universe. Like, you go into the glossary, you go into the, I forget the exact word for it, like the compendium thing that tells you what all the different races are and who the different characters are. And it's like, dude, they are establishing a universe here. And I think with that, if you're going to adapt something like that, you have a lot to play around with that isn't just the main characters, right? You don't have to make a story around Commander Shepard if you don't want to. You can just make a story that takes place in the Mass Effect universe that uses a lot of the same things established in the game, but, you know, takes your own approach and doesn't feel pigeonholed by that. And so, like, I think there's a lot of potential there. I'm excited for this. I hope this comes to fruition and I hope it hits, because I think there's something that you can do. Yeah, you can do something really cool with this.
Yeah, I mean, sci-fi needs budget. That's the one thing. And it needs budget, but for a story like Mass Effect, it also needs time. So I think making it a series is the right call. But is Amazon going to invest enough to make it work? We'll have to see. Production studios have proven that they can make streaming sci-fi content work with things like Star Trek Discovery, where, like, you look at that, you're like, how the fuck is this a TV show? Like, they really did the damn thing. And Mass Effect needs to hit that level. And I don't know that it will with Amazon. Like, that is, Amazon Studios is probably one of the least exciting of the groups for me to have this happen. But at the same time, they once in a while have things like The Boys, which granted, much smaller scale than something you'd expect for a Mass Effect for that. But even that is pretty CG heavy and it's not distracting.
Yeah. Shout out to chat. Codex was the word I was looking for. I appreciate that. And then somebody else in chat mentioned Arcane, which I think is a really good example of, oh yeah, like, take inspiration from the universe, take the universe and tell a story in there that doesn't have to be one for one with a specific story that's told through the game. And yeah, like, I think we're getting more examples of that. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to what this is going to be. But Tim, the Mass Effect TV show is just so far away. Mm-hmm. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom Grop Shops today, where'd I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah! Out today, we got Guardian of Lore for Switch. New days for you. Atlus has announced that 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim is headed to Nintendo Switch, launching April 12th, 2022. And then Crown Tricks Collector's Edition is launching December 10th. Remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can skip the ads. You can write in with your questions, but you can also write in with your squad ups, just like Zombie High X23 did. They wrote in and said, a little different for a squad up, but tonight is the second night of Hanukkah. Can the Jewish best friends get a happy Hanukkah from the Kind of Funny Games Daily Squad? We would appreciate it. Thanks. And of course, Zombie High, have a very happy Hanukkah.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome. Remember, you can go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. You write in, let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Nano writes in and says Animatrix is on HBO Max, which I think we mentioned, but
yeah, we said that.
There you go. Animatrix is 9 shorts.
Thanks for nothing, Nano.
Nano says The Wolf Among Us 2, this isn't that you're wrong, but I guess it's a good one to point out. The Wolf Among Us 2 was also revealed 2.5 years ago, and we've seen nothing since. So there you go. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah,
look at us, bless. Killing the game.
If you want to know who's hosting this week, the days go like this. Tomorrow, you're getting Tim and Gary. On Wednesday, you're getting me and Tim.
No, Thursday, it's not me. It's not gonna be me Wednesday. I don't know who it's gonna be, but it's not gonna be me.
It's gonna be me and question marks.
You gotta get a host, bless.
Okay, cool. And I'm also looking at the calendar because I don't think I filled this out. I don't think I've updated this since like last Tuesday because we've had the week off. Okay, here we go. So Tuesday, Tim and Gary. Wednesday, me and question marks. Thursday, it's Tim and Tam. Then on Friday, you're getting a special episode with Janet and Rebecca Valentine. So look forward to that. If you're watching this live on Twitch, after this is Mike and Nick with a Kind of Funny Morning Show. So get hyped for that. If you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.